This is Nightline.
Tonight, American Journey. One woman's harrowing escape from the Taliban.
Safety is something that we didn't have for years in Afghanistan.
Our rare access inside the tent city on a U.S. military base where she found refuge.
We're taking care of people who've taken care of us.
Her life in limbo. How will she make her way?
It's just a new country, a new culture, a new land, and new people.
Closing in on the American dream.
I just feel like home.
Plus, Supreme Court opening. Justice Stephen Breyer stepping down.
I think this is a huge moment for the court. Why now?
And the history President Biden could make in nominating his successor.
There's never been a black female justice, and so this would be a very significant development.
Who's on the short list? And final Jeopardy. What question ended Amy Schneider's history-making streak? Good evening. Thank you for joining us. For generations and for many, America has been the land of promise. For the thousands of Afghan refugees fleeing the Taliban, it's also meant safety. One brave woman takes us along on her journey, building a new life in her new home. Here's my Nightline co-anchor, Juju Chang.
Oh, it's my favorite, pasta.
A warm meal, a small sense of comfort. Thousands of miles away from Afghanistan.
Just pasta, not meatballs, okay?
This young woman, we're calling her Layla to protect her family back home, is doing her best to make this refugee camp here at Holloman Air Force Base in New Mexico feel like home, at least for now.
What do you like about the camp?
The first very important thing about the camp that I and everyone else here likes it is the safety that they are giving us. Safety is something that we didn't have for years in Afghanistan.
The danger is still fresh for Layla.
I was in the bank waiting to withdraw some money. I heard gunshots, and then everyone was like, Taliban are in here. And we were hiding under the desks after I got out, and everyone was panicking. 14.
She didn't want to reveal her face last summer when she was still in Afghanistan, just after Kabul fell to the Taliban.
Every time that there is a knock on the door, I think they are coming for me because I have worked with international agencies.
Layla is, in many respects, what the Taliban feared, a college-educated woman who flourished with the freedoms gained during the 20 years of U.S. intervention.
Why are educated women such a threat to the Taliban?
If I get educated, I'm not gonna let my sons to go and join Taliban and be one of them. And that is what every other mom would do. So they are afraid of us.
Layla and her husband, who we're calling Yusef, are among the 76,000 Afghans forced to flee to the U.S. after the Taliban returned. Many worked for America or Western allies. When we first met Layla in December, she was one of the 34,000 waiting in limbo. Nonprofit agencies and community groups had been working overtime to help get them into more permanent homes. We gained rare access to this tent city at Holloman Air Force Base in New Mexico, named Aman Omid Village, which for Afghans means peace and hope. It popped up within days after the fall of Kabul.
So this is sort of that shining place for them to come to.
Brigadier General Daniel Gabrielli, a United Airlines pilot, volunteered for this deployment as part of his National Guard service. After three tours of duty in Afghanistan, his sense of obligation to these Afghans, who he sees as comrades in arms, is palpable.
You said of your 33-year career, this is the most gratifying. Why?
I think it is because we're taking care of people who've taken care of us, right? What they have sacrificed for our security, which is a large amount.
What would you say to those who are like, why are we taking in these foreigners into our country?
My grandfather came over after World War I from Italy. So there's no difference between this migration and that migration. It is just the latest in the great American story.
To the general and so many here, this compound is a modern-day Ellis Island.
Shukr khuba. Salam.
And Layla and Yusef are today's immigrants.
This one looks great.
These donated racks of clothes help them and all these residents get on their feet.
I like it.
She fled with nothing but a small backpack, knowing their lives were in danger. Human Rights Watch estimates that the Taliban already killed more than 100 Afghans at the top of their list for revenge.
Thank you.
For helping Americans. Before Layla and Youssef boarded this evacuation flight to a U.S. base in Qatar, she suspected she might be pregnant.
But I still didn't check it until I get to Doha, and they gave me this test, and they said it's positive.
One baby, the other baby right here.
This is the moment she got startling news.
How'd you find out you were having twins?
Oh, I didn't know that until like 13th week when I landed in New Mexico.
Starting a family in the U.S. is not how they saw their lives unfolding on their wedding day nearly 3 years ago. This video, a poignant reminder of happier times in Afghanistan, surrounded by loved ones before the Taliban seized power.
In Afghanistan, it was scary because I didn't want to have a baby in that situation, especially with the Taliban and girls not getting education.
You were three when Taliban came the first time, and
yes.
Your mother taught you secretly?
Mother and a friend of my mom would teach us how to read and write. Like, we would hide our books and notebooks inside the Quran, and then we would go to my mother's friend's house and then learn how to read and write there.
Layla and Youssef knew they had to flee. They left everything behind in their homeland, including nearly all their friends and family. And there are so many women and girls still there, left behind. But here, she's finding a new support system. In the cafeteria, Layla dines with some young ladies she calls the Three Musketeers.
When I came here, I was kind of, you know, depressed from all what happened, and they were the ones that really helped me. Every day they would come to me because they knew I have twins, so they would get care of me. And I really started liking them because they are like very free spirits.
The village operates as a de facto boot camp for new arrivals, a crash course on how to become an American. Everything from sewing classes to English classes. Residents learn how to pay taxes and avoid spam calls. We also saw hundreds of kids playing outside. The majority of the refugees here are children. Just before we met her, Layla got news about her growing family's future. The resettlement agency she's working with told her their new home would be in South Carolina, a chance to finally put down roots. Youssef is excited to try to provide for his family as a furniture maker. He's crafted everything from clock cases to tables to dressers.
یه کاری است که چیزی که دوست داری را انجامش میدی. حالا میتونه یک دیزاین خانه خودت باشه یا چیزی درست کردن برای اطرافیان.
The whole thing is exciting for me here. I don't care if it's South Carolina or if it's New York. It is just a new country, a new culture, a new land, and new people. Always when I feel nauseous, potato chips help me.
American-made salty snacks at the canteen are a simple pleasure for Layla.
Hi.
Who's now 17 weeks pregnant. It's been 9 weeks of waiting in limbo for permanent housing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Not long after we visited, Layla learned the home she and Youssef dreamed about in South Carolina wasn't ready yet. It was the second time she and her husband's hopes were dashed. Finally, on January 20th, the wait is over. Youssef and Layla, now 24 weeks pregnant, leave the base in New Mexico and touch down in the promised land, South Carolina.
It feels like living again. It feels like there we were surviving, and here we are living.
Their nearly 4 month stay in the camp, now in the rearview mirror.
Here it is. It's just home. It's what a home is supposed to be. It's just a feeling, and I feel like home. I don't know why it's that, but I just feel like home.
After months of sharing a tent with other families, the comfort of finally having a private bedroom is a luxury.
You can speak to your husband and then nobody knows what did you say. And then we would say something and then my musketeers would come in the morning and say, okay, that happened. And I'm like, how did you know? And she's like, oh, sometimes you listen.
A fully furnished apartment stocked with groceries and even a nursery for the soon to be arriving twins. All thanks to the Open Arms Refugee Ministry.
We are here for a doctor appointment and just to do an ultrasound. And also I might know the genders of the babies.
Moments later,
it is a girl baby.
The gender reveal.
I had a dream of having two girls, so I was hoping for that, and I kind of knew that it might be two girls.
Two healthy girls, free to get educated as Americans, to enjoy life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
I said, I don't want girls in Afghanistan, but here I am sure they're gonna have a very great future, and we're gonna be a happy family.
Our thanks to Juju. Up next, the opening of the Supreme Court. Why now? And who's on the short list?
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
There's already been speculation about who will be President Biden's choice to replace retiring Justice Stephen Breyer on the Supreme Court. And whoever that is will likely make history. A surprise retirement. Stephen Breyer, the oldest Supreme Court justice, will be stepping down from the bench at the end of this term. Breyer's future had been closely watched ever since President Biden took office. He spoke with ABC News' George Stephanopoulos last year.
I've said that there are many different considerations and that I do not intend to die there on the court. I hope not.
The Supreme Court has been a battleground for some of the most contentious issues of our times. Abortion, gun control, affordable health care. And Breyer was there for all of it, though he insisted the court was not political. His move today allowing President Biden to nominate the first Supreme Court pick of his presidency.
Why now? You know, Justice Breyer's looking at the politics like everybody else. It looks like the Republicans are going to take over.
With the president's approval ratings at an all-time low, the midterms impending, the pressure was on to act now.
The Democrats have a razor-thin majority in the Senate, and I think Justice Breyer is aware that the 6-3 conservative majority on the court is in the process of fundamentally changing the law in some pretty significant ways.
In the wake of three nominations by Donald Trump, progressives worry that Breyer's liberal seat could flip under Republican president if he stayed on too long, as was the case with Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
I think the push to get Breyer to retire had everything to do with Ruth Bader Ginsburg and the view on the left that Justice Ginsburg should have stepped down to allow President Obama to nominate her replacement. And I think for a lot of liberals, that was a cautionary tale about not retiring under a president who would nominate a like-minded successor.
And for many urging retirement, their message wasn't subtle.
And it kind of ticked him off a little bit. You know, he very pointedly said, if justices, follow the political will of partisans about when they retire, the public will lose respect for the court.
On the 2020 campaign trail, Joe Biden promised to appoint the first black female Supreme Court justice.
I'm looking forward to making sure there's a black woman on the Supreme Court to make sure we, in fact, get every representation.
The court is dealing constantly with questions of race and policing and the electoral process and questions that touch on race across many bodies of law.
Biden's likely shortlist includes 51-year-old federal appellate judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, who clerked under Breyer.
The most likely candidate right now is Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, a very well-respected judge on the D.C. Circuit. She was on the Sentencing Commission. She served as a federal defender and also in private practice, in addition to now a number of years as a district court judge and now a sitting judge in the D.C. Circuit.
45-year-old California Supreme Court Justice Leandra Kruger and 55-year-old South Carolina U.S. District Court Judge Michelle Childs.
Nominees are fond of saying, well, they're not voting as people, they're voting as judges, and their job is to interpret the law. But of course, our backgrounds and lived experiences impact how we view the law.
Stephen Breyer is a crucial third of the Supreme Court's liberal minority, along with Justices Elena Kagan and Sonia Sotomayor. In recent years, the court became an ideological battleground, creating a conservative supermajority. Breyer's role often that of the mediator between extremes.
Justice Breyer used to say that dissents are a defeat. It means that you've failed to reach common ground. And he always tried to do that with Justice Scalia and Chief Justice Roberts and the other conservative voices on the court.
Appointed in 1994 by Bill Clinton, Breyer was a critic of the death penalty, fierce defender of abortion rights. During the court's latest term, he voted to uphold the Affordable Care Act and joining every major Supreme Court decision in favor of LGBTQ plus rights during his tenure. Later this year, the court will vote on the landmark Mississippi abortion law, which could dramatically restrict a woman's right to an abortion, an issue close to Breyer's heart.
I expect Justice Breyer's last opinion, one of his last opinions, not the last opinion, to be a fierce dissent. He'll leave the court, and I think a sad note, because he was a staunch defender of the right to choose abortion under the Constitution.
Though the court's future remains an open question, Breyer's decades of service will form a legacy for years to come.
From a personal point of view, there is nothing that could be both more interesting and more worthwhile. It calls forth and requires you to put forth what you have to give. You can't let up. You have to take every single bit of it seriously.
There's an old saying that every new justice changes the whole court, changes the discussions, changes the possibilities, as well as changes the votes. And I think that's what we're going to see.
And finally tonight, Amy Schneider's reign as Jeopardy champion has ended. The 40-game winner losing in Final Jeopardy category was Countries of the World. The clue read, the only nation in the world whose name in English ends in an H. It's also one of the 10 most populous. Schneider drawing a blank.
You looked at this for a long time. No response.
You're going to lose.
Correct response.
What is Bangladesh? That's a tough one, and that is correct. Amy Schneider, congratulations. What a run. Thank you for the 2 months you spent with us. It was very special. It was remarkable.
She won more games than any other woman and increased visibility of the transgender community. Her history-making run netting her more than $1.3 million. Snyder is also second only to all-time champ Ken Jennings. She'll be back for the Tournament of Champions this fall. And that's Nightline for this evening. You can catch our full episodes on Hulu. We'll see you right back here same time tomorrow. Thanks for the company, America. Good night.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.